Through Lent, we have been thinking about our personal journey with God. And this year, we've been intentional, we've been bold in labeling it a pilgrimage. We started in the Old Testament and we thought about the people of Israel as they were coming out of Egypt and beginning their pilgrimage in the desert. And we noted that right from the onset, they went in directions and did things that they weren't expecting. But it's in those twists and turns of life that God teaches his people, tests his people, prepares his people for the life that is to come. Last time we thought about this subject, we recognize that pilgrimage is so much more than just a physical journey. Do you remember the quote from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel? Faith is not the clinging to a shrine, but rather an endless pilgrimage of the heart. Our faith journey is not a series of rituals and routines and going to key places, but it's a whole lifelong journey of our heart and our interaction with God being molded by him. Well, we're going to think a little bit more about that today by looking at some of the lessons that come from the pilgrimage that was at the heart of the childhood, of the upbringing of Jesus in the New Testament. So, Lorinda, if you bring our reading, please.
The reading is from Luke 2, verses 41 to 45. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they didn't find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him.
Thank you. You know the story well. There's very little in scripture about Jesus' childhood, but here there's a dramatic incident involving him. And normally we look at this passage in the sense of seeing something, a glimpse of who Jesus really was, his advanced wisdom, his sonship, the Son of God, and that just begins to come out in the passage. But today we're going to look again in the context of the theme we've been looking at. We're going to dig a little deeper, and as we do so, you'll see there are no fewer than three pilgrimages in this story. The first one is the very obvious one. It's the annual pilgrimage to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. That was the three-day journey that the people of Israel took every year. Sorry, that Jesus' family would take every year to give thanks to God, to recognize what God had done, and in the process to reestablish and reaffirm their identity in God. All of it tied up in this annual pilgrimage. So it's clear that it was a key part of Jesus' upbringing. And of course, it would have been something that provided him with lifelong impact. The memories, you can imagine the memories that would have come of crossing in rough desert lands, the potential dangers of a journey like this. You can imagine the people they would have met, the familiarity of going to Jerusalem on a regular basis. It would have shaped his worldview. It would have shaped his identity as a Jew, as somebody that God had done this remarkable thing for. His identity as being part of a family, the whole family were going together. So pilgrimage was key to Jesus' childhood. Let's just think about that for a moment. Think back to your childhood. What were the key journeys that we made that perhaps had impact, that were instrumental in us building and initiating that faith walk with God? And I would suggest that for many of us, it would be perhaps going with your family to church on a Sunday. For some of you, going to Sunday school. I appreciate some people didn't want to go to Sunday school. They were forced to by parents, but it was there that lots of things influenced your worldview. It would have shaped your understanding of how the world operates. It would have given you a godly perspective. It would have instilled within you something of God's morality and how we might behave towards one another. It would have identified who you were as part of your family and the fact that God was a significant part of your family if you journeyed to church together. It would have taught you something about how Sunday was different from the rest of the week, in those days at least, and how Sunday was kept special. And for your generation, for many of us, that's something that was established and is firmly helping us to keep the Sabbath holy. It's something that's largely lost today and gives Christians a real challenge. But it was also, it would have been one of those things that was instrumental in establishing our personal understanding and faith with God. So that's the first of the examples of pilgrimage. And I suppose actually thinking about it, that's how the childhood of Jesus was impacted. That's how your childhood was impacted in those days. Today, it would be going to church on a Sunday, perhaps, meeting with your brothers and sisters, meeting as we are doing right now in the presence of God on Sundays in particular, but at other times. Those are the times when we establish that pilgrimage journey, and it helps us move into a deeper faith with God. That's the first one. The second pilgrimage that we see, well, that was the reason that they were going to Jerusalem in the first place. The Passover itself, a feast that went back centuries. And it commemorated Israel's deliverance from slavery in Egypt. And you'll know the story, that the children of Israel had been in slavery for 400 years. And God heard their cries. And on this day, at the end of the 10 plagues that had come, as Pharaoh was digging his heels in and saying no, he was not going to let God's people go, God had told his people to sacrifice a lamb and paint the blood of the lamb on the doorposts around the doorway. And that night, God would travel through Egypt in judgment. But he would pass over, hence the name of the feast, the homes where the blood of the lamb protected the people within it. It was the beginning of the journey, the pilgrimage of the people of Israel towards freedom, towards the promised land. It was so much more than just a trip to Jerusalem. It wasn't some kind of holiday. It was key because Jerusalem was key because of its, not because of the location as such, but this was where God met with his people. It was the place where he had given them. It was the place where the temple was established. It was the place where in the temple sacrifices could be made. They went to Jerusalem so they could meet with God personally. And they would go through those practices because that's where they would encounter him, and that's where they would deepen their understanding of who they were with him. And the whole Passover feast, and the, recognize that initial pilgrimage of God's people, a journey with him uniquely. And today, perhaps for us, the equivalent would be when we recognize what God has done for us in the seasons of the church. So when we meet at Pentecost, as we recognize that God gave the Holy Spirit to each one of us, as we go through Christmas, where Jesus stepped down into the world, and then Easter, and of course, the Lent journey to Easter, where we understand the cross and what God did in Jesus for us. So we go to these places. This is part of our pilgrim journey, as it was for the people of Israel, because it was a reminder. This is where we meet God and are prompted and restore our relationship, our perspective in what he has done for us. So we've got the annual pilgrimage of Jesus' family. We've got the Passover pilgrimage for the people of Israel thereafter as the reminder. And the third pilgrimage is when Joseph and Mary have to return again to Jerusalem, because they suddenly realize Jesus isn't with them. So they go back, and as verse 45 put it, they went searching for him. Some observations about that. They went searching for him. This would be a costly pilgrimage, wouldn't it? It would cost time. First of all, they traveled for more than a day away from Jerusalem. Now they've got to turn around and backtrack. So they're going to take another day out going back, hopefully find Jesus quickly, and another day just to get where they are on their journey home. You can imagine it was going to be costly in time. It might be costly in the sense of the delays that would come to their livelihood, the delays to take up responsibilities back at home, the delays in what they'd already got planned. It had been costly in other ways, costly in the resources to get there, the food they'd have to take for the journey, and whatever else they might have to go through. It would be costly in emotions. Can you imagine the stress, the anxiety they must have felt? Where is he? Is he safe? Is someone looking after him? Can you imagine the guilt they might have been feeling? How did we do this? The original home alone. How did they get this so wrong that Jesus slipped away from them? And so for them, the third pilgrimage represented in this whole passage is Joseph and Mary going back to Jerusalem to look for Jesus. If you want a definition of Christian pilgrimage, then this third journey offers a really good example, something to really make us think. It was a costly journey to a significant, meaningful location, searching for Jesus. A costly journey, a meaningful location, searching for Jesus. That's our faith journey. Our faith journey is not a holiday. It's not a matter of just going through life and then occasionally having a quick turn and going on a Sunday and visiting God. And then a week later, we pop back and see God again. And a week later, we routinely, much as we might go shopping on a routine basis to buy food. It's so much more than that. The concept of a pilgrimage with God are those three things that I've just mentioned. It is costly. Often it's a very costly journey to a place of meaning. I'll come to all of these in a moment. And it's always searching for Jesus. That is a Christian faith pilgrimage. It's not a life just involved nipping to church. It's a life in which there is these three things. So firstly, the cost. We're called to be disciples of Jesus, aren't we? And a disciple, that word disciple, discipline, suggests a sense of effort, a sense of control, a sense of taking a stand at times. It speaks of the time we would put in. It speaks of commitment. It speaks of sometimes actually making a stand to people and to situations around us. It speaks of expectations, perhaps of others, having to be challenged. The Bible says, the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Isn't that what an athlete does? And that's an image presented across the Bible. The picture of the Christian pilgrimage is that of an athlete who trains, who works to build up stamina so that we can cope with whatever's going on, so that we can be there and stand for God in those tough times. That's the principle. Scripture says, Jesus speaking to his disciples, said to them, take up your cross and follow me. That's the challenge to us. It's not just go through life, have a great time and visit every now and again. Take up your cross. The suggest is that it's going to be costly at times. And then, of course, the words that Jesus spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. The priority, the cost, is seeking God first, but not because God wants to beat us with a stick, just the opposite. That in life, the way the kingdom of God operates is that when we give God his first place, all these other things fall into place. God wants the best for us, and so he invites us to pay that cost, to take up the burden and carry the cross for him. So there's a cost to our journey with God. And second, it is a place of meaning, a journey to a place of meaning. Is that a geographical location? Well, sometimes it could well be. It certainly was for Mary and for Joseph. As we've said, it was the place that God had given to them to be a center point, to be the place where the temple existed, where sacrifices could be made. It was a place which was so much more significant for them because that's where they could meet with God. And for us, there are places which may have real significance. Some people will take a pilgrimage through the Middle Ages. Some of the saints took a pilgrimage through Europe. As Lorinda and I have been on holiday, we've seen some of the pilgrim ways. They're still marked where people visited these key places like Chartres, where there was a history of a community meeting with God. And for each of us, there might be places which we could go to which have a familiarity, a sense of meeting with God there, perhaps key moments in your life. Maybe the time when you became a Christian. That might be a place. I'm not sure it would be for me. I became a Christian when I was 10 years old in a youth group that met in a hall of a primary school in Longford in Warrington. There's not a lot of point in me going there now to re-establish those lovely ties from the past, because it's completely gone. It's now an Aldi, a Greg's Baker's, Costa Coffee, and there's a pub there. Interesting, isn't it? A place that, for me, was a moment of spiritual nutrition, feeding on God, discovering God, and now it's become a place where people feed their stomachs. Interesting sign of the times. But there could be places. I could go back to Africa where I met God in deeper ways, where I had that first call into ministry. But it isn't just a geographical location. Most of the time, it's not. It could also be places that are meaningful in the sense of something significant happening there. Points in our lives where key events take place. There could be bereavements. There could be moments of transition where we meet people, where we have an encounter with God in the most difficult of crises in our lives. They can be meaningful places where we encounter God. Things of significance, events of significance, perhaps people of significance, who together make up the places that we go on our pilgrimage and our journey with God. So there's a cost, there are places of meaning, and there is always searching for Jesus, always our eyes looking fixed to see what Jesus might teach us, looking for him to meet with us when we're feeling a little lost, looking for his involvement, looking for his prompt, looking for his discipline, perhaps, his forgiveness. These are the places, these are the things that take place on a pilgrimage with God. So three things. It is a costly journey to a place of meaning, always searching for Jesus in those areas. But before we close, just a couple very brief observations to add to that and maybe help us think about it. First of all, Mary and Joseph clearly loved Jesus, but they lost him. Clearly they knew Jesus, but as this example shows, that they didn't always understand him. They loved him, but they lost him. They knew him, but they didn't always understand him. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, does that sound familiar? I can say to you so easily this morning that when it comes to my Savior, Jesus, I love him. I love Jesus. I love who he is in my life. I can tell you that I know he is in my life. But I can also say, probably like all of you, there are times when sometimes you struggle, perhaps all too frequently, when we lose sight of Jesus and when we don't understand the way he is working. And why is that? Because we live in a world where we are distracted. We live in a world which is imperfect, where our faith is imperfect. We live in a world where the prince of this world has a goal to distract you. He is the deceiver. He lies. He trips us up. His objective is to keep you from God. He loves wasting the time of the saints. And we live in this world where, therefore, our humanity is impacted by him. And so something takes place around us and we are hurt and we feel that pain and we get anxious and we're uncertain about what is coming and we worry. And that's because we live in this time of broken world, temporary. We are not in the place where one day we will be in eternity and all things will become clear. It's what the Apostle Paul was saying to the church at Corinth when he said, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully." And so there is a need for us to be honest and to recognize that in this broken world, as much as we might try, our faith walk with God is not always perfect, which is why we have to work at it. There are real highs and real lows. There will be times when we are on fire for God, where the word of God, where scripture feels like it is burning within us, and we're excited. When we come together as God's people, you sense God being present with you, and that warm glow is wonderful. And then there are other times when we are going through life and circumstances pile up and we feel battered and bruised and we lose sight of God. And we often do that thing that Mary and Joseph did, and we panic, and hopefully we go searching back for him. And that's the reason that the Christian pilgrimage is an ongoing process right the way through our life, because it helps us counter that humanity that takes us astray, and it leads us back to re-establishing the links. And in the process, God shapes us, as he is doing right now. So that's my first observation. And the second, even more brief observation, comes from verse 44, which tells us why Mary and Joseph lost sight of Jesus. We read, by supposing him to be in the group, in the translation that we read. They lost Jesus by supposing him to be in the group. Basically, they were so wrapped up in conversation and in the enjoyment of being on a journey with other people, as they were trekking, maybe enjoying the scenery around them, that they assumed Jesus was there. They were with family and with friends. And in that situation, it's easy to lose sight of Jesus personally because they assumed others would keep an eye on him. And isn't there a lesson there for us? Sometimes when we look to those around us, the people here this morning, the Christians that we know, those who we are currently traveling with on our journey, as we look to them to look for Jesus, the danger is that we lose sight of him personally. And so we drift away and we feel distant. Our focus on Jesus, our faith, can become lazy. It becomes vicarious. Do you know what I mean by that? It becomes a faith that's lived through other people and through their actions, secondhand. Our experience of God can become secondhand through other people's prayers, through other people's personal encounters. And we can lose sight of Jesus as a result. Our faith becomes lazy. We're focused more on the enjoyment of our time with the crowd around us. It's easy to do that and lose sight of what God might want us to be doing ourselves on our personal walk with him, not taking responsibility for ourselves. And so our Christian walk can turn from being a personal pilgrimage to being something of a journey on a spiritual tour bus. The Christian community is an absolutely wonderful thing. It's a gift of God, right up until the point where we let everyone else do the work and we're distracted from personally encountering Jesus. So I would ask you a question this morning. Are you on some kind of spiritual package holiday? Or are you on that personal pilgrimage journey with God, which is often costly, but involves addressing those situations in our life which have real meaning, and inviting Jesus into it, because we're always searching for Jesus. We're in Lent. And one of the fantastic things about Lent is it's not a one-off. It is 6 weeks of reflecting, of thinking, of recognizing that God invites us, if we've stepped away from the path, to step back on it. And I believe God invites us, each of us, right now, to recognize how healthy our personal walk is. Perhaps to step off the passenger bus and put our feet back on the path, making Jesus the center. Let's pray.